broken by sin and all its illusion. I weighed the gain against the loss. Oh, but I found the answer in the midst of confusion. I found victory at the foot of the cross. That only He gives me. He saved my soul from eternal loss. Oh, and thank God when I climbed Calvary's mountain, I found victory at the foot of the cross.
Trust that you know that that is where you find victory. Amen. Is at the foot of the cross. Good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask Him to be with us tonight. Brother Joe, would you take us a Lord in a word of prayer? Church, would you stand, join the choir tonight, turn over to page number 139, page 139, let's sing At Calvary. Sing now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died. On salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burden sold my liberty.
choir, you can be seated. Again, it's good to see you here. It's good to have the children's home back with us. You guys were about a minute and a half from my house this morning. I mean, you could have went down the road. Brian, you could have probably thrown a rock and hit my house this morning. You guys are very close to us, and it's great to have you back here with us this evening. And I did see the sign on the way out. Did y'all pay attention to the sign on the way out? Great verse of Scripture. And that was pretty deep right there, amen, from our young folks. So please take that challenge, young people, and bring Brother Jack and Miss Jackie a verse of Scripture. Neither one of them are here with us tonight. Brother Jack's not feeling the best, so please remember him in prayer. I don't know if he passed that $5 bill along to anyone to get to or not, but Joe said he'll cover it. Amen. That's the spirit right there, brother. We'll take care of that. All right. So thank you for that verse of Scripture, and it is out there on the sign. If you didn't notice it when you came in this evening, please notice that before you leave tonight. So please remember that challenge. Also, don't forget about the books on the Revelation. I know that they would want us to mention that tonight. I think 107 volumes have gone out, and they're still working on getting some other copies together to send more out. So we're thankful for that. Please don't forget about Wednesday night, of course, 7 o'clock, Bible study and prayer meeting. I've had a good choir practice today, and again, a challenge to you, if you're not a part of the choir and want to be, we'd love to have you. And, we have some that are praying about that, and we look forward to gaining some new choir members in the very near future, so please remember that in prayer. But let's go to him in a word of prayer and just ask him to be with us tonight. Great message this morning, amen? In the book of Ruth, what a great challenge to us and a great message from the Word of God this morning. But let's go to him, ask him to be with us tonight as the Lord speaks to us from his Word through our pastor, Brother Charlie Wilson. Would you lead us tonight and ask God's blessing on the offering as well as prayer requests that have been given here today?
Thank you. mention a few people to pray for before we open the scriptures tonight. Let's remember Brother Harold. I failed to mention him this morning. He's here, but he has some upcoming results, and the doctor is going to give him some direction concerning his heart, I believe. Some other things. His vision is not doing all that well either in one of his eyes, and so I told him we would mention that. So please pray for Brother Harold. The Sanveys just told me that their daughter got in a car accident this morning on the way to church, but so they were with her today, but she's fine, and the Lord was looking after her, and so we rejoice with you on that. And Miss Shirley Townsend wanted us to remember a friend of hers, Frances Rakestraw, who has leukemia. And so let's remember her in prayer. And, of course, Brother David Henderson was attending his uncle's funeral today, him and Glenda. And these were just some things I failed to mention this morning. So let's remember all of these. Request, of course. Let me go ahead and mention Bob Gladden. Me and Brother Don and myself went to go visit with him the other day, and leg amputation. If you would remember Carol Cape, she has 3 skin cancers that need to be removed, and I asked her if she would like us to put on our prayer sheet, and she said yes. And then I meant to mention this a few weeks back, but Greg Conley, this is Miss Nancy McClendon's son-in-law, and he's had some heart complications lately, and I believe he's set for now, maybe, on the road to healing and recovery. But Brother Greg, he's also a good friend of mine as well, and so let's just remember all these requests in their entireties. Let's take our Bibles tonight for a few moments and turn to the last book of the Bible, Book of Revelation, Revelation chapter number 3, and we've got it on the front row. Revelation chapter number 3, of course, this is going to be our starting point for tonight. Verse number 20, Revelation 3:20, very familiar verse. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will mention our title and get into the message. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, the name that's above every name, we're thankful that we can call you Father. And I pray for the next few moments, Lord, that you would use us for your honor and your glory. I pray, Lord, that we might receive a little more direction in our pathway as a result of the service, a little more light upon our steps that we take. And Lord, let us be closer to you by the time we leave than when we came tonight. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we all, every one of us, every day that we live, use doors. And doors are an everyday part of life. We use them to get from one space to another space. A door is connected from one room to the next room. One space to the next space. Some doors in life, physically speaking, are locked and we cannot enter in. Other doors are open. And because they're open, we can enter in. Talking about physical doors. No telling if we counted today how many doors we came in and out of from one space to another. There's no telling at the quantity of doors we went in and out of today. Doors are a part of everyday life, physically. But also in the Bible, there are spiritual doors. There's doors that are mentioned throughout the Word of God that God opens for us, that God wants us to desire to be open. And these doors move us from one space to another space. And they're spiritual doors. And I want to say that God has doors that is open tonight, that all it takes is a simple act of obedience to walk through and enjoy His blessings. There's other doors that sometimes are locked for later appointments. But whatever the cause is, whatever the purpose, whatever the intention is in our day-to-day living concerning physical doors, the same apply to spiritual doors. So with that said, tonight I want to talk to you for a few moments on doors in the Bible. Doors in the Bible. I want to say, first of all, in verse number 20 of chapter 3 of Revelation, there is the door of standing. Notice what the writer says, "Behold, Jesus, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." This is the door of standing. Of course, this door belongs to the Lord. And we know, those of us who have studied these churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor, Revelation chapter number 2 and 3, we know that Jesus here concerning the church of Laodicea, he's on the outside and he's standing there, he's knocking, and he wants to get in his own church. This church was a wealthy church physically, but spiritually they were a poor church. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing," "and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And so the scriptures here tell us that this church was a wealthy church physically, but spiritually they were poor. Says that they were miserable and poor and blind and naked. And because of this, it made the Lord nauseous. And he spewed this church, as it were, out of his mouth. Verse 15 says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And so we have the Lord here, and in the context of this verse, it has to do with Jesus wanting to get in, and he's knocking, and he's desiring to get into his church so that the church's love for him may be rekindled, and so that the church might get their focus right, and that there may be a spiritual alignment within this church, that they may go out and spread the gospel and evangelize. But nonetheless, we have the door of standing. Jesus on the outside knocking. And we have this in our day. Well, I believe we're living in the last days. It's been the last days since Paul's day. We know that. But nonetheless, so many churches that are out there, and we don't know, and I don't know all the stories and the ups and downs of any particular church, but there's many a churches where it's cold on the inside spiritually. And you go into these churches and sometimes you can sense that there's just some kind of discord there. There's some kind of disconnection from the Lord and the church. Of course, it's easy to cast judgment on a first visit to a church. That's why it's good not to judge. But nonetheless, that's the case in the day and time we live at some locations. That whatever the cause, whatever the situation may be, the Lord is on the outside wanting to get in. And he's knocking. And he's desirous to be within his own church. He wants to save souls. And he wants to lead and guide his flock through the shepherd, the under-shepherd. And he wants to teach his church through teachers. And he wants to have deacons that lead. And I want to say tonight that I'm glad that we have a good, godly Bible church. And I feel as though the Lord is in this church. I feel as though that we have and we maintain the right perspective in serving God. This is just what I picked up on in the couple years I've been here. And down through the years, that purpose has been maintained to evangelize and teach the truth and lead others to Jesus. But nonetheless, the first door is the door of standing. And Jesus here is on the outside knocking, and he's wanting to get in. Number two in this same verse tonight, there's the door of salvation. I said a moment ago, and I'll say it again, that I believe in the context of this verse, it has to do with Jesus wanting to get in his church. But on the same token, this also can be applied to the human heart for salvation. Many times, and it's actually been used in witnessing. I've heard others use it, and I've used it. For instance, talking to somebody about the Lord and witnessing. And they may say, well, you know, I've tried everything in life to fulfill my heart, and nothing fills it. Good times won't fill it. Drugs, alcohol won't fill it. Money won't fill it. Being a workaholic won't fill the emptiness on the inside. And then you may come back and say, well, you know, the Lord wants to save you, and He wants to come in on the inside, and He wants to be the Lord of your life. And then you might throw in Revelation 3:20, where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I feel that it's no injustice to Scripture to say that this is a door of salvation as well, because Jesus truly knocks on the hearts of men and women. Through His Holy Spirit, through the preached and taught Word of God, Jesus calls people to salvation. And so He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. So there's the door of salvation. Also, notice if you would, let's go all the way back to the first book of the Bible, from the last to the first, the book of Genesis chapter 6 verse 16. I'm going to throw that on the screen, Genesis 6:16, for just a moment. Here we're going to see the ark had one door. In Genesis 6:16, I want you to notice the Bible says, a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubic shalt thou finish it above. Notice this. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, third stories shalt thou make it. There was one way in the ark, and there was one way out of the ark, and it was that main door. And again, we know, those of us that's heard much preaching and teaching and study the Bible know that the ark is a type of Christ. It's the place of refuge. And we know there was only one way in and one way out. And Jesus is that one way. He's the only way. And no man cometh to the Father but by Him. The ark pictures salvation. Again, Revelation 3:20 is a picture of salvation, a call to salvation at the same time. But then we know that in Exodus chapter number 12, in verse number 7, also verse 23, you can read it later or you can turn now, it's up to you. But we know that there were the doorposts that had to have blood applied from the Jewish people when the death angel came. And if the blood was applied to their door, to the doorpost, then the death angel would pass over them. A picture of salvation tonight. And speaking of doors, the doorpost. And then there's the ark, had the main door. But then in Exodus 29, in verse number 11, there was the tabernacle in the wilderness that had one door. And it was that one door ultimately that led to salvation. It pictured salvation. And so tonight, there's the door of salvation. When you study your Bible, you'll find places where salvation is linked to a door. You move from one realm to another realm, one space to another space. And listen, for a believer, the door that we walk through for salvation, before we were without Christ, we were alienated from Him. We were not connected to His promises nor His resources. But then when we pass through that door, we move from one space to the next space. Now all the promises of God we have and we can embrace. And we have purpose and we have meaning in life. Moving from one space to the next through a door. There's the door of salvation. But then number two tonight, there's in the Bible you'll find the door of service. The door of service. Back in Revelation chapter number 3. In verse number 7, we have the church in Philadelphia. And the Bible says in verse number 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, He that is true, he that hath the key of David, notice this, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. We have an open door here for service. And this church, the Church of Philadelphia, was able to access the space that God granted them. This open door, they were able to access, and it gave testimony of their influence. It gave testimony of the church, and they were able to evangelize, tell people about Jesus. And again, we all have an open door to evangelize the world. The Lord has not come back yet. We're still here. And this open door that he's talking about in verse number 7 and 8, I do believe it has to do with church influence. It has to do with sharing Jesus and winning those to Christ. He says in verse number 7, about middle ways down, he that openeth and no man shutteth. Let me just put a little tag on here and say that when God opens a door, no man can shut that door. And we know this is a universal door, and there is the universal door of witnessing and soul winning. But I'm talking about now, this little tag on this, other doors God may be opening. No man can shut it. And then he says he shutteth doors and no man can open it. Maybe there's something in life that we want to do, but really in the depths of the recesses of our hearts and minds, maybe we know that God doesn't want us to do it. And so he shutteth doors that no man openeth. He says in verse number 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So we see tonight that there's the door of service, and the Lord gives opportunities to serve him. As this Church of Philadelphia, they had the opportunity to influence the world through this open door and how God was using this church. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 2:12, don't turn there, he speaks of a door that God has opened unto him. In 2 Corinthians 2:12, talks about a door that God has opened unto him there. But then in Colossians 4 and verse number 3, the Apostle Paul asked the church to pray for more doors. How about that? So for instance, maybe you have answered a call and you're committed to God and you've gone through one door. But what about asking for other doors? Sounds to me like Paul was a go-getter, hard worker, wanting to serve the Lord and make a positive influence in the life of others. And you can go back and read those verses, but in Colossians 4:3, he prays, or he asked the church to pray for him that God would open more doors. Kind of reminds me of the prayer of Jabez, how Jabez wanted to influence, and Jabez wanted to touch the community for God, and he prayed that the Lord would extend his territory, broaden his influence in life, and God honored that. Paul prayed the same thing. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, in verse number 9, I want you to see, you can turn there for a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, in verse number 9, when God opens doors, sometimes the devil tries to hinder. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Many times when God directs and opens doors, there's going to be some level of battle there. There just is. There's going to be some level of battle. There's going to be some kind of stance that the devil's going to make in opposition towards you for you making a stand for God. That's just the way it is. So we see that Paul had many adversaries through a specific door. And many times when we're serving the Lord, there will be adversaries that arise. Number one, the number one adversary is the devil. Let me mention, not only there's the door of service tonight, and the Lord gives us opportunities to serve Him. There's the door of salvation tonight. But then, number three, there's the door of supplication. The door of supplication. Turn to Matthew 6:6. The door of supplication. Book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." This door supplication that Jesus spoke of, it was of the believer entering into their prayer closet and shutting the door behind them and spending time with God. There was something about this verse that stuck out to me a long time ago, and it has always been a help to me. He says in verse number 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door." Now you can look at this and say, well, God's calling us into our clothes closet and go in there and shut the door and pray. That's fine. But what I've discovered about this verse is the times where I'm really wanting to get alone with the Lord, I find it real hard to shut some things out. I mean, when I know I need a touch from God, I know I need direction from God, and okay, God, I am engaging with you in prayer, but it's all this stuff up here. What's going on tomorrow? How's this going to be handled? What's going on there? What's going on there? What about Lily and her school? What about Christy and her work? What about this? What about that? It's hard to get quiet sometimes. But like David says, "Be still, my soul." Sometimes in life, to hear from God, we have to just rear back and shut the door on some things. Shut the door. Sometimes we have to shut the door on some phone calls. Sometimes we need to shut the TV off. And sometimes you have to shut down relationships. And sometimes you have to just shut down the busyness of life. And sometimes you have to shut down being a workaholic so that you can engage in prayer. It is very hard to shut the door. But I want to say this on the same token. If we can ever shut the door on some things, you will be amazed at what God can do. And God has a way of intervening. And God has a way of charging us up and energizing us and giving us wings and allowing us to soar above our problems and not sink under them. Talking about the door of supplication, he says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And so Jesus spoke of the believer entering into their prayer closet and shutting the door behind them and spending time with God. We all must be faithful to this door every day, the prayer closet door. We're powerless without prayer. Luke 18, verse number 1. I want to mention a couple of things here about prayer. Luke 18, verse number 1. In Luke 18, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." I believe the word "men" here is gender neutral. Men and women. Everybody is to pray. Children of God. In verse number 2 he says, "Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Look at verse number 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjudge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Listen, this story had to do with a woman, a widow woman, who needed someone to avenge her adversary of whatever sort it was. And here was a judge who did not fear God, but by her continual coming, hey, judge, avenge me, nothing. Hey, judge, avenge me, nothing. Avenge me, nothing. Avenge me, nothing. On and on and on we go. She continually came to this judge who feared not God, but in verse number 5 says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. And of course, the Lord is saying in verse number 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjudge saith. And so if a unjust judge who feared not God would answer a widow's prayer by her continual coming, cannot we glean from this that we're to stay in our prayer closet? And there's something going on in your life and you need God's direction, God's guidance. Keep on knocking. Keep on going. It may not happen over time. It may not happen immediately. It may have happened something gradually over the course in the space of time. But if this unjust judge was troubled by this widow lady, not saying that God is troubled by us, but in a sense, we can keep coming to God. God, help us. God, help me. God, help me. Eventually, so to speak, we will trouble him to the point where he will do something for us. Now, again, we're not troubling God. Again, God has a plan. We understand that. But we're trying to get a good picture of enduring prayer, of staying in our prayer closet, going to God and trying to get peace about a situation. There's the door of supplication. I want to mention one more. Back in Revelation chapter number 4, in verse number 1, there's the door of splendor. The door of splendor. Revelation 4 and verse number 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. This is a door of splendor, a door to heaven that John saw. And this door is for a certain time, an appropriate time. And of course, we know that this door that John saw was to heaven. And this verse deals with the future rapture of the church. We mentioned the church of Laodicea, the church of Philadelphia. And in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 records the church age. But after Revelation chapter 4... And then the completion of Revelation chapter number 5, you will not read or hear anything else about the church. Reason being is because in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, we have the rapture of the church. Chapter number 5 is the around the throne scene where the crowns are casted. And this door of splendor one day will open. And God will say, come up hither. And we'll forever be with the Lord, a place of splendor and a place of delight. A place where there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow. A place of reunion, a place of joy and gladness. And it's a place of total contentment and peace. I can't wait for that door to open. How about you? I welcome that door to open tonight if he wanted to call us up there to leave here. But saying that, there's still work to do, isn't there? There's still souls to witness to. There's still the local ministry that needs to carry on, and we delight in that. Then in chapter number 6 through chapter number 19 of the book of Revelation is the tribulation period, which we will not be witness of. The door of splendor is what John is talking about here. They want to come around with the song of invitation. Just wanted to mention to you tonight some doors in the Bible. The door of salvation, the door of service, the door of supplication, the door of standing. That was Jesus standing. The door of splendor. There's many doors in the Bible. That was just a few to name tonight. And again, doors are to get us from one space to the other. Physically, we go through them every day. But what about spiritually? What do you feel God is calling you to do, or maybe nudging you to walk through a certain door? If that's something that you're praying about, maybe tonight you need to come and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for who you are. We're thankful, Lord, for what you do. We're thankful for the doors you open. We're thankful for the doors you don't open. Some doors are for later times. God, give us the wisdom to discern door for now times. I pray that you'll just apply the message to the heart that needs it the most. And let us leave tonight loving you more than we did before we came. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand up.